This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
They're all set, cocked, locked. Here we go. You're dialed set correctly to USA Prepares. We're delighted you're in class with us today. John is engineering the broadcast in Minnesota at Genesis Communications Network. I'm Vincent Finelli. And for those of you who are new to the class, there are over 200 of us here at USA Prepares. We are innovators, dentists, medical doctors, CEOs, broadcasters, researchers, farmers. And today, I'm delighted to introduce to you your newest instructor. His name is Dr. Gary Bates. He's with the University of Tennessee. He's the director of the University of Tennessee Beef and Forage Center. His efforts help farmers build and maintain economically viable beef farms with grasses that support those farms. Our son met Dr. Gary Bates at a grass conference in Missouri, and our son was so interested and impressed with what Dr. Gary Bates had to say. He said, "Dad, you really need to call Dr. Bates. Here's his card. Please give him a call because you're going to really like him, and you're going to want to invite him to be on the air with you, and you're going to want him to be an instructor at USA Prepares." So I'm delighted to welcome your newest instructor, Dr. Gary Bates. Welcome, Dr. Gary Bates.
Oh, well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Dr. Bates, you spend a lot of time in the field. You spend time doing a lot of research at the University of Tennessee. And can you share with us what your thoughts are about sustainability, greenhouse gases? Cows are taking a beating in the public eye about destroying our environment. Is that true?
Yes, sir, that is true. You know, I mean, it doesn't take long for you to, you know, read a newspaper or get on the internet or hear something on the radio about how, you know, cattle and specifically cow farts are just totally destroying our environment. And as you go through and you look at the actual data about greenhouse gases, actually cattle are not the biggest issue. In fact, they're a very minor part of it. It's actually all the transportation and fossil fuels and, you know, energy production. That's really where the bulk of them come from. So I think actually, you know, in contrast to cattle and livestock being part of the problem, we actually look at them as they are part of the solution to some of the environmental issues.
Well, I have to agree with you because I know for an absolute fact that here at our farm in Missouri, where we raise Black Angus and Red Angus cows, and also when we lived in Virginia, we had a farm there doing the same thing. I know that if we do not have the cows grazing our fields and keeping the weeds down, the nature will take over and our farm will turn from fields to woods. Would you agree with that?
Oh, sure. Yes, sir. That's definitely going to happen, particularly in the areas that you're talking about. You know, you're going to have this successional type of progress going from grasses to you know, kind of brush into trees. So, yeah, definitely that's going to happen.
And what that means, class, is exactly what Dr. Bates was talking about, fuel. And if think about the typical person who has a front lawn and a back lawn. How often do they mow that lawn? Once a week? Once every 2 weeks at the most, right? During the growing season? How much fuel is consumed by mowing the United States of America? An enormous amount. I don't know the number. But when you have cows, they take care of that for you. And then once a year, what we do is we go over the fields with a mower, and anything that started to grow, like saplings, that we don't want there, we just clip them off with the mower, and we're done for the year. So we use way less fuel, and we're producing something that we eat. I think it's a good thing. And so I'm really not worried about cow flatulence at all. I'm really not. I'm worried about other things much more. Dr. Bates, so let's talk about what would you, if you were advising a person who was interested in buying a farm, what would you suggest that that person look at if that person wanted to raise cows? Maybe start out with a few cows and build the herd, right there on the farm. What would you recommend that a person look at in terms of the soil, the topography, the temperature, the climate, the rain? What things are necessary to have a successful calf and cow operation?
Okay, well, the good thing about it is that we can raise cattle almost anywhere. It's one of the good things about the flexibility of it, because we can, the things that are going to feed a livestock operation are going to be their forage crop, their grass and their pasture and hay fields. And so we can grow that basically nationwide. And so, what they need to look at is, the kind of the topography and everything that they have. It's probably not the best thing to be, directly in the mountains where everything is kind of straight up and down. So you'd like to be able to have things that are, going to be easy to be on and to work and all. And then, when you can look at soil types and all, we have a lot of variation in soil types across the nation, within states, but even within a single farm, you'll have a lot of different soil types. And so that's where you can work with some of the different kind of organizations and get soil maps and look and see. But the big thing, we can grow grass almost anywhere. And so a lot of it has to do is actually probably where you would rather live in the nation.
Okay. And when you're talking about growing grasses, are we better off staying with the native grasses of that particular farm location, or are we better off ripping that out, burning that down, killing it, and starting out with, a higher production grass? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think we can use native grasses. They've been successful, but I also think that we have some introduced species that we've brought from other places in the world, and have used those, and some of those tend to give us maybe a little bit higher production. Sometimes there's some advantages to using those. So I personally think let's open up our toolbox as wide as we can, and where there are some of the native grasses that fit well, let's utilize those. But I think there's other grass species. For instance, I can think of, tall fescue. It's a really predominant grass. I know y'all got a lot of that there in Missouri where you are. We have a lot of it in Tennessee. And, it's a very productive grass, very useful for the livestock industry. So I think we should use those grasses also. So I kind of, let's open the gates as wide and use every tool that we possibly can use.
Mm-hmm. When I was growing up in the East Coast, I lived in in the countryside. Everybody had 1 acre in this particular area that I was living in. And this is during the 50s and the 60s. And if someone had crabgrass in their yard, it was considered a blight. But we consider crabgrass something that we don't mind having here. We like crabgrass because the cows eat it. And we look at, as a matter of fact, we have a saying here at our farm, if the cows eat it, it's not a weed. Would you tend to think that that's acceptable, or are we off in our way of thinking?
Oh, no, I totally agree with that. Really the thing that we're trying to do with all these forage crops is just provide, protein and energy to these animals so that they'll be able to grow. And, just because in a lawn it's a weed, if all these are grasses we're talking about, whether it be fescue or crabgrass or Johnson grass or, you know, whatever it is, they're all just grasses and they have protein and energy in them. And let's go ahead and utilize those things. So I agree totally with you. If they will eat them, then let's take advantage of them.
Okay. And what do you think about multiple grasses growing in a field? So, for example, there are grasses that are tolerant of heat. There are grasses that don't like the heat. There are grasses that can run longer growth in cooler temperatures. What are your thoughts about mixing grasses on the same field?
I think that was something that your son and I had a conversation over lunch about. I think it's very important, you know, when you get ready to develop your forage program, the key thing you got to think about is a cow's got to eat 365 days a year. And so we need to try to develop a forage production program that provides as many days of grazing as possible. And a lot of times we can't do it with just one single forage species. So what we're trying to do is use multiple species kind of in a diverse mixture so that we can, you know, lengthen our grazing season. It also kind of helps insulate us from, you know, certain situations where maybe one species doesn't grow as well one year, maybe you have another species that'll dominate. So I think you have to have a very diverse forage program. Use several different grasses, but also mix, you know, different legumes in there, alfalfa, various clovers to get the benefit of those and have a very diverse mixture.
You mentioned clover. We have hop clover here on our fields. We have Ladino clover, red clover, white clover. What are your thoughts? Is there a one best clover, or are we better off with mixtures of clover? How would you recommend it? A farmer improve his field with clover by fixing nitrogen with clover?
I'm glad you bring that up. So everybody, we need to be focused on trying to have clovers in pastures. They improve the protein and energy content of what the animals are grazing. They put nitrogen into the soil, so it cuts down, you know, fertilizer requirements and that kind of thing. You know, I can't say there's one best clover. It depends on the area that, you know, you are living in. You know, if I think about us here in Tennessee, probably the two clovers that we use the most are going to be red clover and also white clover. Are we still on?
Yeah, we are. We're going into our first break. It'll be several minutes of commercials, then we'll be right back with Dr. Gary Bates.
Fresh liquid whey was so valuable to the improvement of health that in the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria to dispense fresh liquid whey to the sick and aged. The results were restored health and a return of youth. Fresh liquid whey supplies the most easily digested of all proteins and ranks higher in protein value than the egg. Unfortunately, the current methods of processing whey causes proteins to twist, fold, and become denatured. This makes them non-functional in the body. Like a lock and key, proteins do not work in the body unless they retain the shape that nature gave them. We at Synergistic Nutrition believe that our technological enhancements restore the protein structures of our whey to the shapes that nature originally gave them. The results that One World Whey has generated for so many over several years now testifies that One World Whey is producing very positive results. For a limited time, one or more of the flavors or sizes of One World Whey are on sale. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Number one international best-selling author, Matthew David Hurtado's pain was simple. Lyme disease bankrupted him in 2009, watching bankers take everything from his family after building a seven-figure business from his couch. God called him to ministry to teach prosperity based on pain he could not tolerate in others' lives. IRS, creditors, car loans, debt. It's the Babylonian system, and you have to escape it before it's too late. Haven't you ever wanted to wake up from this nightmare? Matthew David's free quick study guide shows you what to do today to build lasting wealth in any economy. His discovery he made? It's all consciousness. Get Matthew's seven-figure quick study guide for clarity, certainty, and a proven strategy to build wealth once and for all. Visit EscapeRightNow.com. Do it now. It's free. EscapeRightNow.com for a prosperous future ahead with peace of mind. EscapeRightNow.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Dr. Gary Bates is with us, and we're talking about clover. Dr. Bates, I'd like to share with you the way that we spread clover seeds here at our farm in Missouri. What I did was we have an old four-wheeler. It's a small one. And I attached a 5-gallon bucket to the back of the four-wheeler, and I drilled about 50 holes in the bottom of the bucket. I spread them all around the surface of the bottom of the bucket. And the holes were about three times the size of the clover seeds. Then I poured the clover seeds into the bucket, put the lid on the bucket, and then hopped on the four-wheeler and rode all around the field, lengthwise, crosswise, every way you can think of. And this was on a day that the snow had just melted, and the cows were going to be on that field shortly, and I just rode all over the field, spread those seeds very sparsely, and let the cows step them in to the soil. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think that actually is a really good way to do it. I never had thought about trying to take a bucket drilling holes in it like that. That's a really good idea. But, yeah, trying to do it during the time of the year where maybe there's some snow in the ground, that winter time, mm-hmm. It makes it easy for you to see where you've been, you know, so it makes it a lot easier to kind of spread it. And then also, that's a time of the year usually where it's good to plant clovers, because most of these clovers, you know, you need to plant them during the kind of the fall, wintertime period, and then they'll come on up and start growing during the springtime. So, yeah, that sounds like a really good way to try to do that.
Well, it kills a couple birds with one stone, and one of the birds that it works on is tax deduction. So I've got pictures of us on the four-wheeler seeding the field. So when we depreciate our four-wheeler, it's a clover, and it's a seeding machine. That's really what it is. So we look at, as farmers, we have to look at every way we can to become more efficient, save money, be frugal. And would you say that is something that is a common thread through farmers, that we have to be frugal kind of by nature in order to survive?
Oh, I totally agree with that. You know, you start looking around at the economics and what makes money and what doesn't within the livestock industry. A lot of times it's not how much money you make. It's actually, it's your profitability has more to do with how much money you actually spend. That probably influences your profitability more than any other thing, is trying to keep your costs low and being very frugal and efficient with the way you do things.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the story from our son. He got it secondhand, but there was a man who inherited a lot of money. And the first thing he did was he bought a farm. Next thing he did was he bought all new equipment. I mean, shiny green equipment, and spent a fortune on equipment and bought some cows. And then the cow market turned south in terms of price, lost everything, lost the farm, lost the equipment, and ended up taking his own life. So a very, very sad story. But farming is something I think, in my opinion, I think someone needs to ease into it rather than jump into it without learning about it. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, well, yeah. So, you know, the old saying is, how do you make a little bit of money in farming? Is you start with a whole lot of money. You know, so, you know, it's not like people that's going to just, you know, get, you know, become millionaires on it. But I think there are, you know, you do need to start in it small, make sure you kind of understand the basics of what you're trying to do. So, for instance, in the livestock industry, if you don't know a lot about, say, raising cattle, you know, you don't want to start off by, you know, having 500 cows, you know, I mean, unless you are pretty prepared and have the knowledge base to know everything that's involved with it. And so if somebody, you know, wants to move into the, you know, livestock business, it's much better to, it's a lot easier to start with fewer numbers and to be able to grow the numbers than to buy a lot at the beginning and then have to end up having to sell those. That's where you'll kind of take a beating on the price side of it.
Mm-hmm. Class, just for your information, when we started farming, we started with 6 calves and we grew the herd. And when the calves matured, we bought a bull, and we grew our herd. When we moved to Missouri, we bought 33 pregnant cows, Black Angus, and grew the herd from there. And that's how we did it. So we started small, and we learned about the cows. We learned what it takes to raise them, and then continued growing from there. We'll be right back after these commercials and news.
Labradors, Goldens are the main breeds that come through our door, but we'll train anything with 4 legs and a tail. My husband and I own a kennel. We train hunting dogs and also have a boarding and grooming business. And our dogs, they're athletes, and we feed them very quality food. You can't get enzymes in a commercial dog food because they cook it at such a high heat that so much important nutrition is just cooked right out of it. But adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
DINOVITE.com
859-428-1000.
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
DINOVITE.
Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite for life.
DINOVITE.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Homeland Security Chief Kirstjen Nielsen asking Congress for more authority to deport and detain migrants.
In a letter to Capitol Hill leaders, Nielsen's asking to be granted the authority to return unaccompanied Central American children to their native countries if they, quote, have no legal right to stay. A wreath-laying ceremony is coming up at the Vietnam War Memorial today in Washington in honor of those who served their nation from 1955 to 75.
It wasn't until 2017 that President Trump established the National Vietnam War Veterans Day that will henceforth be held on March 29th every year. About 9 million Americans served our country during that time, of which an estimated 6.4 million are living today.
That's USA Radio's John Clemens. President Trump reversing what was going to be a funding cut for the Special Olympics. And this is USA Radio News.
At Indeed, we believe a resume is a great way to see an overview of a candidate. But you're not hiring a resume, you're hiring a person. That's why we offer tools to give you a deeper sense of the people behind the paper, like skill tests, which let you actually see a candidate's abilities in action to make sure they're a good fit for the job. See beyond the resume with Indeed. Increase your visibility to great candidates with a free sponsored job upgrade on your first job posting at Indeed.com/promo. The sponsored job upgrade is a $50 sponsored job credit. Users are charged once the credit is spent or expires. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach. The dead doctors don't lie guy says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Watch it. I know there's something happening. It's going to be sliding.
Turn it up. What are today's hot?
Why today? God, you're
take my...
When you go to
the
CC,
for 2 seconds,
turn
it.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Class, Dr. Gary Bates is with us, and we're talking about farming and grasses. And the question I have for Dr. Bates is, what events can sink a family farm financially? What are the events that could happen that are beyond the control of a farmer that can actually ruin the potential to stay afloat?
You know, that's actually a good question. Probably one of the first ones I think of is drought. You know, we've had a lot of those over the last, you know, we think about over the last decade or so. Various areas across the nation have been hit by pretty severe droughts and has ended up, you know, causing some reductions in the actual number of cattle herds in those various regions because you get a drought, you can't grow the forage that's needed to feed those animals, and so a lot of people end up having to get rid of their herds.
And I remember, and I've been telling our class over the last 8 years about, you know, good years and bad years in farming. And during the good years, farmers can buy hay in round rolls, typically about 1,000 pounds per roll, for about $30 to $35. Well, we had a drought last year, and hay production was way down. We actually grew about one quarter to one third of the amount of hay that we would normally grow. The price of hay went from $30 to $35 years before to $70 to $100 per roll of hay because of the drought. Exactly what you're saying. Farmers were in a panic. We had moved some from one field to another and had it near our driveway, and within 20 minutes, a farmer was driving up our driveway asking if he could buy our hay because he ran out. And do you see that kind of thing in your travels, that farmers really can't plan on the weather anymore and they can't seem to figure out what size herd they should have so they don't get into a feeding problem where flat out they just can't get enough hay to carry them through this time when grass isn't growing like the winter?
Right. Well, yeah, you know, well, I would tend to say you almost need to plan on drought anymore. It feels like that at least every other year to once every 3 years, we're going to have, you know, some level of a drought. So I'd say we try to teach people you need to plan on those things and plan for the difficult situation so that when you do have a good year, we'll just take that as gravy. But yeah, I think it's the thing that you have to make specific plans for and have, you know, the protocol you're going to have in place so that when you do get into a drought and you don't have enough pasture or you have to feed your hay early, you have a way to be able to make it through that without having to dramatic changes on your farm.
Dr. Bates, back in the 1950s here in Missouri, I wasn't here at the time, but I've talked to the farmers who said it was terrible. There was a massive drought, and the drought was so bad that farmers were literally cutting down trees to feed the leaves of the trees to their cows. Have you ever experienced anything like that in your neck of the woods in Tennessee?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that brings back really bad memories. But I remember there was a year that I think it was going to be probably 2007. But I remember that it was Easter weekend that it froze outside. We had a really hard freeze. And the reason I remember that is because, you know, we had the Easter dresses going to church that day. I walked outside and went back inside and told my daughters, who were very young at the time, we got to get coats back out. And I remember that it froze that weekend and just froze all our forage back. And it didn't rain significantly until like October, and it was the kind of thing where all the pastures were just, you know, burning up, and people were doing exactly what you're talking about, cutting, you know, some limbs of some trees down, trying to provide them something to eat, and hay prices, you know, went through the roof because it wasn't just a small area suffering the drought. Everybody was suffering from the drought, so nobody had hay, and it was a pretty traumatic experience that, you know, unfortunately, we've had things similar to that, maybe not quite as hard as that, but similar to that a couple of times since then.
Mm-hmm. So what we did, Dr. Bates, was our son, Mrs. Finelli, the whole family got together around the kitchen table, and we said, you know, this looks like it's going to be a really serious drought, and let's get ahead of it. This was last year. We literally sold half of our herd because we did not want to be in a position where our cows were starving with no options. And that's what happened. Farmers were caught without hay, and we couldn't help them because we just had enough hay for us because we sized our farm for the worst-case scenario, and that's what happened. And literally, it was just a lack of rain. But then you contrast that with what just happened in the Midwest with this major flooding in the Midwest where millions and millions of dollars worth of cows died because they were stranded. They died in the water, the floods. And I can see that that's going to change the price of beef at the supermarket relatively soon. Do you see that as well, Dr. Bates?
Well, I think it, you know, depending on how, you know, widespread and the numbers that are lost, it could have, you know, some level of an impact. I mean, a lot of times the thing that happens is some of that might not happen immediately, you know, because some of this is, you know, were cows that, you know, cow herds that were affected, and the impact of that comes, you know, basically a year to 2 years down the line when those calves that would have been born were going to the market. So we have a pretty widespread beef industry, you know, over a large portion of the nation. So it's not like we're going to have a beef shortage, but I think it does have the impact, the chance to, you know, have some short-term impacts on some things.
In your experience working with farmers, can you share with us some of the do's and don'ts? So if you're thinking, class, of doing what the Finelli family did, jumping off the corporate ladder, leaving, you know, the office, the desk, that enterprise where you might be working, and moving out to the country to start a farm, what would you recommend people? Let's start with whatever you do, try to avoid doing this. What would that be?
Okay, I think the first thing was don't try to start too big. You know, make sure that you have something that you actually have the time and the energy to be able to handle. I think that's one thing. It's very easy to get overwhelmed with some sort of a production type of enterprise. I think the second thing is, you know, when you go through a production, you know, think about whatever it is you're trying to produce, whether it's going to be some sort of a crop or whether it's going to be livestock, know ahead of time kind of what you expect some sort of a budget to be, you know, what you're going to produce, what it's going to cost to be able to do that, so that you know where your income is going to come from, and you have some sort of projection for that. But also, you really have to understand what your expenses are going to be. And I think you have to make sure that you understand the budgetary side of things. That's probably the biggest mistake that I think people end up making if they want to try to get into it is, you know, they might have an idea about how much they might produce, but they have no idea about what the inputs are going to be and how much that's going to cost. And you can really get kind of underwater pretty quick that way.
It seems to me that some of the lessons that I've learned about farming over the, well, since 1989, when we first started farming, is that it's harder than we thought. It takes longer than we thought. It's farther away than we thought. It's heavier than we thought. And it costs more than we thought. Would you, does that seem about right?
Well, you're painting a very rosy picture there of agriculture, aren't you? But no, I mean, I think a lot of times it is. It's, you know, it's not going to be the kind of thing that you're going to plan on going out, you know, and making $1 million on. You know, there's a lot of times the people that I work with and that are in agriculture, they do it because they love it. And they, you know, they see the real benefit to it for themselves and the lifestyle that they want to be able to have. And that's why a lot of people do it. But it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's a, you know, if you're raising livestock, man, it's a 365-day-a-year job. You can never take off because you have to make sure your operation is set for those animals to be able to eat and be productive. But it's I think it's a very rewarding type of job to be able to do, and it's possible to be able to be successful with it, but you have to, you almost have to have a little bit of a pessimistic attitude. You got to plan on having the problems so that you're prepared for those. So you don't have to, like you were talking earlier, you know, have to, get rid of animals, or that you don't have to just totally sell the herd, but that you have a process in place. What happens if we get in a drought and we run short on hay? And here's the first thing I'm going to do is maybe I'm going to supplement my hay with something that'll stretch my hay and make it last longer. You know, number two is going to be I'm going to, cull animals that are not productive and try to reduce my herd so I save my most productive animals. And you have a process and a plan so that you're not just having to fly by the seat of your pants as the drought occurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, I was thinking about the old story, how do you make $1 million in farming? Well, it's easy. You start with $2 million, right?
Right, right.
So for those who are thinking that they can just jump away from that keyboard and that screen at their job and they want to be a farmer, what would you recommend that they do? And we talked about starting small. What about location? Do you have a preference, or do you recommend that we just find an area that we really like and see what's available there? Let's talk about that when we come back from this final break of the hour with Dr. Gary Bates. What do we do if we want to be a farmer? And
hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
The new frontier in human nutrition will be the exploration of how foods and herbs epigenetically affect our cells. Epigenetics is the study of how the DNA of the cell can be signaled to function in a whole new manner. It is already known that certain herbs change cells for the better via the epigenetic signaling system. This means that with proper signaling, you can feel younger, stronger, and even live much longer. The quality of the whey used in One World Whey is of a caliber that we believe is positively affecting the cells of your body via that epigenetic signaling system. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Class, Dr. Gary Bates is with us, and I'd like to let you know that if you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Bates, you can go to usapreparers.com, USAPREPARES.com, and click on the instructors tab, and under farming, you will find a link to the University of Tennessee's Institute of Agriculture page. And it'll take you right there, and you can find out more about Dr. Bates. Dr. Bates, so those who are thinking about buying a farm, where should we look? Do we look where we are? Do we look at the topography, the taxes, the temperature, the climate? What are the key items that you would say look at for that first farm?
I'm not, you know, I don't know if there's one single factor that trumps everything else. I think it, you know, it could be a matter of depending on where your priorities are. You know, if a priority is there's a certain area of the nation maybe that you grew up in, that might be the most important one. Like, for instance, for me, I grew up in the South, and I am living right now in Tennessee just about as far north as I want to live because it starts getting way too cold during the wintertime. So, you know, that's one factor you might want to consider. Another factor I think that's probably pretty important, particularly from a livestock situation, is, you know, rainfall has a very big impact on how much forage and feed that you're going to be able to produce. So, you know, one of the great things about kind of this mid-south region of the U.S., kind of the Missouri, kind of right across the middle part of the nation, is we get, you know, relatively cool temperatures during the summertime, but then it doesn't get extremely cold, and we have plenty of rainfall, so we can grow a lot of stuff. You know, then there are some advantages to some of the places that have lower taxes. I mean, you just can't argue with that. And there are some states that really embrace agriculture and try to do a lot to be able to promote it. from because they recognize that agriculture is a pretty big economic driver to their economy. So I think those are three things. It might be where you want to live, the weather, and what year, where you want to be from that standpoint, but also from a tax standpoint and from how the government embraces agriculture.
And how do you feel about a little off topic? How do you feel about commercial fertilizers compared with manures?
Well, I think again, you know, it comes back to a similar type thing we talked about with the native grasses versus the introduced grasses. You know, the commercial fertilizers are a tool that we have, but you know, those, they're not cheap. I mean, they cost a significant amount, and if you're trying to cut your expenses, I think one way to do it is by trying to, you know, limit those commercial fertilizers as much as you can. So using manures, and you know, depending on where you are in the nation, you may have access to, you know, things like poultry litter to be able to use for fertilizer. But also, you can, you know, basically 80 to 90% of what a cow takes in comes out the back end. And so they're actually taking off very few of the nutrients. So if you do a good job with your management program, you can really limit your nutrient needs and your fertilizer applications. And then if you do have to supplement with a little bit of commercial fertilizer, you know, we always recommend do it based on a soil test. So you can test your soil, see what your nutrient level is, and then know what you need to apply. And then we talked earlier about trying to add legumes to the different clovers or alfalfa or whatever. One of the great things about those plants is that they have the ability to take nitrogen out of the atmosphere and put it into the soil so that we can limit some of the nitrogen needs. So that's another way to try to limit those commercial fertilizer needs.
When we first moved to Missouri back in 2005, we noticed something that was kind of different. We only have a few seconds left, and that was farmers would feed hay. They would just drop a roll of hay on the field, and the cows would leave a donut ring of manure around that hay bale. And we unrolled our hay across the fields, different strips every day, and we let the cows fertilize the fields with the manure while they ate the hay. Is that something that you see happening more and more? People are adopting that process of unrolling?
Yeah, sir. We see a lot of people trying to do that, spread nutrients, and it makes less of a mess.
Yeah. Dr. Bates, thank you so much for being with us today, spending your time, and for joining the faculty. We're looking forward to having you back again and again.
All right. Thank you.
Biochemistry determines your mood, memory, energy, and endurance. Your body's primary metabolic function is to make protein. One World Whey is a unique, non-denatured protein. This enables your body to have virtually 100% utilization, whereas typical whey protein powders offer no more than 18% utilization of protein. One World Whey also delivers life-giving frequencies to your cells. The net result for so many people is improved energy, mood, and elimination of pain from inflammation.
This technologically enhanced One World Whey has been really amazing for me. I'm 36 years old, and for the past several years, I've been struggling with lack of energy, drive, and stamina. And after just 2 weeks on this product, I'm feeling so much more energy. My yoga practice has deepened, and as a massage therapist, I'm able to see more clients than I've been able to in years. I've never felt results that quick with anything I've ever taken.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.